This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New National Security Advisor. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, March 23rd. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The White House is replacing H.R. McMaster. President Trump says the new National Security Advisor will be former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton.
There will be no government shutdown tonight. The Senate this morning passed a $1.3 trillion spending bill to keep the government running.
Big sell-off on Wall Street with the Dow Industrials losing more than 700 points. We'll explain what spooked investors.
And if your patience has finally run out with the controversies at Facebook, we'll have tips on how to quit it.
My Twitter feed has been absolutely full of people telling me that they are deleting their Facebook account over the last couple of days. I don't know how much of it is actually true, but there's definitely a lot of people who like to talk about deleting their Facebook account.
Kurt Wagner at Recode with tips on deleting Facebook. President Trump is replacing his national security advisor. Out is H.R. McMaster. In is former United Nations Ambassador John Bolton. Mr. Bolton, who worked under President Bush, has openly discussed his interest in taking the national security post in the Trump administration. He has urged the administration to strike first against North Korea and to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal in columns published by the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Bolton, who's 69, will be Mr. Trump's third national security advisor in 14 months.
It's not that we would agree on everything or with our other colleagues in the national security community, and I don't think the president wants that. I think the president wants debate and discussion. He wants to know what the possible courses of action are, and then he'll make the decision.
That was from Sky News. He's currently an analyst on Fox News. He will not need Senate confirmation to take the job. In addition to his UN post, Mr. Bolton also served in the Bush administration as Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security from 2001 to 2005. General McMaster, by the way, plans to retire from the U.S. Army this summer. The Senate early this morning passed a $1.3 trillion spending bill, avoiding a government shutdown that would have taken place tonight. The bill, which now goes to President Trump for his signature, would lift military spending by $80 billion this year and domestic programs by $63 billion, a decision celebrated by defense hawks and criticized by lawmakers frustrated by its impact on the deficit. Mr. Trump is expected to sign it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell highlighted a 15% increase in military spending and funding to combat an opioid epidemic, as well as a down payment toward Mr. Trump's border wall. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer had his own highlights.
We Democrats are really happy with what we were able to accomplish on a number of priorities that Democrats have fought for all along. Infrastructure, education, opioid relief, and more.
The bill would also end what gun control advocates say has effectively been a ban on federal gun violence research. Tough day for stocks. The Dow Industrial Average fell more than 700 points, or nearly 3%. Washington policy seems to be getting the most blame. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
Trade war fears took deeper root when the Trump administration yesterday said it would impose tariffs on tens of billions of dollars on Chinese imports. China responded with tariffs on $3 billion worth of U.S. goods. There was already unease among investors since the announcement of duties on steel and aluminum imports. Investors widely agree that the global economy looks robust, but there's worry that growth could stall if there are more retaliatory moves by other countries. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Shares of manufacturers, aluminum producers, and steelmakers were all sharply lower. The Wall Street Journal says it came as many say the market was already under pressure, gripped by concern over rising interest rates and sliding technology shares, including continued weakness by Facebook, which has lost about 11% this week. It's 10 minutes after the hour. on This Morning, America's First News. Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift, Pyo, Hip Hop Abs, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and more. Hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding, weight training, and cardio HIIT to yoga and even dance workouts. Workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require extra equipment. In the time it takes you to drive and park at the gym, you could be finished working out. Insanity is a great program, no extra equipment needed, and Sean T will definitely keep you motivated throughout. Awesome trainer for sure. Right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You'll get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text the word Gordon to 303030. Roughly 1,200 pedestrians have been killed by people-driven cars so far this year. You haven't heard about the vast majority, if any at all, but we've all heard about the one involving the self-driving Uber car in Tempe, Arizona. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says semi-autonomous cars are still safer than ones driven by you and me. Rick, how do you see it?
You know, we had a police chief there say he watched the video. There were several video cameras in this car, and he said, you know, based on how abruptly this woman kind of jumped out or appeared in front of this car, he says, I don't think anybody could have avoided this crash. However, I think it's important to point out that that is exactly what self-driving cars are supposed to do. They are supposed to have sensors that even if somebody's hiding behind a bush, as the car approaches, your eye might not see that. The car is supposed to have sensors that would pick that up. So obviously I'm not there. I'm not involved in this. My guess is that once the National Transportation Safety Board investigates, they will find that there probably was some malfunction with sensors on the car. I mean, that's what sensors are supposed to do. They're supposed to detect movement. And for some reason, they didn't in this case. And it's also worth pointing out there was a human in this car, the so-called safety operator. That's how Uber does all of these tests. And that person did not do anything to stop the car either. So neither the computers nor the person operating this car, or at least controlling the car, did anything to prevent this. So we're going to learn a lot from this.
All right. A lot of these different operators, whether it's a car maker or a tech company, have suspended operations now with regards to this. Do you think that's an overreaction?
No, it's not an overreaction. I think they're just reviewing. This is an important new data point, and I don't mean to trivialize the death of this person, but this will be an important moment in the development of this technology because this is something new. Something happened in this instance that should not have happened, and everybody who's doing the technology needs to figure out what happened and fix it if it's fixed. Now, I think the important thing to point out, yeah, I wrote about this, and I browsed the comments in the story, but my point was, look, autonomous technology is going to be a major safety improvement. It's going to save lives. It's going to save a lot of lives in the future. And I read through the comments, and they were almost 20 to 1 against self-driving cars, people saying, I would never entrust myself to a computer driving my car and so forth. And my reaction to that is I would be more comfortable with a computer driving your car than with you driving your car because you're not as good a driver as you think you are. And I'm not referring to you particularly, personally, Gordon. I'm just talking about everybody. Everybody thinks they are a better driver than they are.
True.
And, we have more than 40,000 people killed every year in car crashes, and more than 90% of those car crashes are caused not by mechanical malfunction or by a flaw in the car. They are caused by human error. It's drunk driving. It's drugs driving. It's drug driving. It's texting while driving. It's speeding. It's blowing red lights. It's simply being a bad driver. Simply, you know, the inability to control the car, going too fast around a curve. All these things. Not wearing seatbelts. Americans are people in general are bad drivers, and we seem to just tolerate this huge death toll because people like to be in control of their cars. These computers and these sensors are going to prevent a lot of those deaths. And we need to have our minds open to that.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's written a piece entitled "Self-Driving Cars Are Still Super Safe Even with the Uber Death." Based on just that headline, by the way, and I know you don't write headlines, is that a a fair comparison? Because the driverless cars, they don't drive as many miles as regular cars.
Yeah, I did write that headline, actually.
Okay.
It's a headline. It's a shorthand. So that's, you're making a fair point. In the story I wrote, and I pointed out here, most of this technology is still being tested. I mean, what we think of as you and I cannot go out and buy a self-driving car.
Yeah, yeah.
This technology is working its way into the fleet. What Uber was doing was testing. They were testing new technology. You know, we're talking 10 years, 15 years. I mean, there's still a lot of work that needs to happen.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. By the way, the daughter of the woman killed by that Uber self-driving car in Arizona has retained a personal injury lawyer. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Biden charging ahead with a dramatic remaking of his White House. President Trump says he'll replace National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster with former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, a foreign policy hawk entering a White House facing key decisions on Iran and North Korea. Bolton was interviewed on Fox.
The clash of ideas brings you closer to the truth. And so that's obviously what the president wants. He hears the pros and cons. He hears people argue it out. I'm a litigator by trade myself, and I think that's what we believe the trial process does as well.
Trump tweeted that McMaster has done an outstanding job and will always remain my friend. Congress has given final approval to a $1.3 trillion spending bill that ends the budget battles for now, but only after late scuffles and conservatives' objections to big outlays on Democratic priorities at a time when Republicans control the House, Senate, and White House. Budget Director Mick Mulvaney expects things to wrap up later today.
Is the president going to sign the bill? The answer is yes. Why? Because it funds his priorities.
A Senate passage shortly after midnight averted a third federal shutdown this year. The measure funds the government through September. Protesters angry about this week's fatal shooting of an unarmed black man marched from Sacramento City Hall and onto a nearby freeway yesterday, disrupting rush hour traffic and delaying the Sacramento Kings game. Hundreds of people rallied for Stephon Clark, a 22-year-old who was shot Sunday in the backyard of his grandparents' home. Police say they feared he had a handgun, but turns out he had a cell phone. On the court, it's the maddest of all March Madness. 11-seeded Loyola Chicago continued its Cinderella run with a 69-68 win over Nevada. Marcus Towne says even when the game was tied at the final media timeout, the Ramblers never doubted they'd win.
We got some stops. You know, we made some big shots. You know, Dre, and then I hit one, and we were fortunate enough to get the W at the end of the game.
And another shocker, Kansas State edged Kentucky 61-58. Other winners last night, Michigan and Florida State.
All right. How about Michigan, by the way? Are they still scoring this morning?
They looked pretty good.
Wow.
That was not a close game. The other ones were good, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were up, I think, 25 early. It was never looked back.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Big
Thank
10.
You, Jim. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you run a small business, you know there's nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology, like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deals. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Americans are relocating to retirement hotspots scattered around the country and returning to suburbia. Wall Street Journal news editor Janet Adamy has a look at new data from the Census Bureau. Janet, what have you found?
Well, what we found is that you have this, you know, this huge number of baby boomers who are edging into their golden years, and they're really reshaping the patterns of where Americans live. The population of a batch of so-called federally designated retirement communities, it rose 2% last year. That's about three times the national population growth rate. So you've got older people reshaping the map in America.
What does that mean, federally designated retirement destinations?
These are places, counties across the U.S. where a large number of retirees have moved in over the past several years. So it's some of the places that you might think of, like Naples, Florida, or Gulf Shores, but also places that are a little bit more obscure. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho was one of them. Weld County, Colorado, in the Denver suburbs, and even places like Adams County, Pennsylvania, which is an area that has Gettysburg in it, pulling some retirees from Baltimore.
Wow. So what's going on here?
I think what people want is, in particular, we're seeing kind of an interesting move of people from places like California and Arizona that are higher costs to some of these places out west. They're looking for states with favorable income tax treatment, amenities, even this development in Coeur d'Alene is, you know, they've got retirement communities that are being built where the home is all on one level, the yard is small, so it's low maintenance, and they include snow removal service.
Wow. We're speaking with The Wall Street Journal's Janet Adamy, editor in the Washington, D.C. Bureau, talking about a piece entitled Retirees Reshape Where Americans Live. So what does this mean for some of these communities where a lot of people are suddenly moving in?
I think it's a good thing for these communities. I do want to point out one other trend that we discovered in this new data, and this is based off of new county population estimates that came out from the census. The other place where we're seeing Americans across the board of all ages move are the suburbs. That includes some millennials, younger Generation X members who are finding that, you know, after years of living in the city and delaying some of the kind of life stage things like marriage and having children, those groups are starting to move into, you know, what we think of as adulthood. They want a suburban home. They want better schools. And what we noticed in our data analysis was a pretty steady uptick in migration to suburban parts of the country, across the country, while the population growth in kind of core, central, large cities, those populations are still growing, but the rate of growth has tapered off.
Is this tied to the economic recovery we've had over the past, 9 years at this point?
I think what we're seeing is a sort of a more typical pre-recession pattern. So during the recession, you saw people flooding into cities. That's where the jobs were. That's where, you know, you had tech hotbeds like, of course, the Bay Area, Washington, D.C. metro taking off, and the quality of life in those cities getting a lot better. But you have you sort of have these two dual forces of, one, this kind of life stage thing where the millennials who had put off having children during the recession, some of them are starting to do it. It's still at somewhat depressed levels, but there are some signs that millennial women are starting to have the children that they put off having post-recession. But you're also seeing these big cities become in some ways a victim of their own success.
Thanks, Janet. That's Wall Street Journal news editor Janet Adamy. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you want the absolute best shirts around, you have to go to CT Shirts. I want you to try them because once you do, you'll never go back to some random shirt off the shelf of a department store. And CT Shirts come in custom sizes, so you're not messing with ill-fitted sleeve lengths or neck sizes. It's time to step up your game and look your best, so I got you a special CT Shirts deal. 3 CT Shirts for $99. CT Shirts use the softest, most exquisite fabrics ever. Work or casual, tie or no tie, tuck or untucked, when you're wearing a CT shirt, you'll look your best. Here's the deal. 1 CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now, you get 3 shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. Go to ctshirts.com/deal. And CT Shirts come with free delivery, a 6-month quality guarantee, and free returns. If you hurry, $99 gets you 3 amazing CT shirts. ctshirts.com/deal. That's ctshirts.com/deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, March 23rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump is naming John Bolton as his third national security advisor. Shutdown avoided. The Senate passed a massive spending bill this morning. The president will sign it today. Stocks fell hard on renewed fears of a trade war. Warning for those who like grilling meats. And how United coughed up $10,000 to get a passenger off a plane. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. There are many valid reasons you might want to quit Facebook. Maybe you spend too much time there. Maybe you're tired of its cluttered app.
Maybe you're unnerved by all the Russia stuff, or the recent news that Facebook allowed data company Cambridge Analytica to access the data of 50 million users without permission. Whatever your reasons, if you want to quit Facebook, the folks at Recode have put together a how-to. Here's social media reporter Kurt Wagner. Kurt, what are you hearing from the folks who want out?
My Twitter feed has been absolutely full of people telling me that they are deleting their Facebook account over the last couple of days. I don't know how much of it is actually true, but there's definitely a lot of people who like to talk about deleting their Facebook account.
Boy, and deleting and, I guess, deactivating need to be separated, right? Not quite sure what folks are necessarily doing, because you can deactivate, as you guys pointed out in the story.
They're pretty similar. The idea of deactivating is basically deleting until you change your mind and decide to come back. And that's how Facebook would prefer that you leave Facebook, because ideally they'd love you to come back. So it's a similar concept, but one kind of preserves a lot of your stuff in case you change your mind, and the other is more permanent.
All right, so you've done it, right? You deleted Facebook?
I have not deleted Facebook. My colleague Eric has deleted Facebook, and like I said, many of our readers have deleted Facebook. Since I write about it so often, I feel the need to stay on and stay pretty up to speed on it, but I know a lot of other people have.
Man, how complicated is it to do it, by the way?
They don't make it super easy, but it is certainly possible. I think it does take a little bit of navigating around their settings tab, but a lot of setting up their privacy stuff, you know, takes a few minutes to kind of go and navigate and feel around a little bit. And I think some of that's by design, right? I mean, Facebook's business is built on you kind of showing them or giving them as much data about yourself as possible, sharing as often as possible. So these are, you know, deleting your account or limiting that kind of stuff. That is not what they want you to be doing.
Yeah. I was fascinated by the step two in your piece, as it's called, about getting a backup where you can download a copy of kind of all your Facebook data. Explain how that works.
Yeah, you can download everything that Facebook basically has on you into, you know, one file if you want. So that would be your personal information. That would be your posts. That would be photos that you've shared to Facebook. And for people who are preparing to delete their account altogether, it's a pretty good step, because I think a lot of people realize as they go through the process that, you know, in fact, there is a lot of good stuff that I put on here over the years that I don't want to lose forever. Even though I don't want the account anymore, I still might want those photos. So you can download all of that, and it's recommended before you delete your account to do that.
We're speaking with Kurt Wagner, social media reporter at Recode. They've written a piece about how to quit Facebook. Also, step four, see who still has your data. What's that about?
Well, this is kind of in line with what we're hearing from Facebook over the last couple of days, which is that if you have ever used your Facebook account to log in on a third-party app, so let's pretend you use Uber or Spotify or Airbnb, and instead of creating an account on those services, you simply said, log in with Facebook. I'll use my Facebook account to do that. Those companies may have some of your Facebook data, and so you can go in and actually see which companies you've given permission to look at your data, and you can sever those ties.
Wow.
And it might be a good idea to do that before you delete your account. That way, Facebook can kind of cut that cord before your account is either deactivated or deleted.
Wow. It's not the most, radio-friendly way to do this, but can you explain how that's done?
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but the simplest way is to go into your settings and go into your privacy settings. There's going to be an option in there that says complete a privacy checkup. And this is kind of a feature that Facebook rolled out a few years ago that walks you through some of the basic privacy tools that they offer. This, sharing data with third-party apps should be one of those. Facebook has also promised that it's going to encourage people to do this in their news feed recently as a result of all of the data issues that they've run into with this Cambridge Analytica story. So even if you don't find it in settings, you may actually see a prompt to go ahead and do this in your newsfeed sometime in the next couple weeks.
Thanks, Kurt. That's Kurt Wagner, social media reporter at Recode. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there was a one-on-one mano-a-mano duel between two lawmakers on opposite sides of the aisle outside of the Capitol yesterday, but it wasn't what you'd think. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker announced on Twitter yesterday morning that he was going to be taking on Arizona Senator Jeff Flake in a snowball fight. Booker tweeted that Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton had theirs. Now he and Flake would have their own version on the Capitol East lawn. The stakes? Whoever got hit the most would buy the winner's staff pizza for lunch. Booker also boldly predicted that he would win if for no other reason than the fact that New Jersey gets a lot more snow than Arizona. Mm. The match was captured in photos and videos, but despite Booker's initial confidence that he would win the fight, he conceded that he had been bested by Flake by a 3-2 count.
Jeez.
Though he warned that at least one of the pizzas he buys for the Arizona Republican staff would be vegan, as he has been a practicing vegan since 2014.
He's not eating the pizza. Why would he do that?
Because.
Senator Booker has gone 0-2. How do you lose to a guy from Arizona in a snowball fight? I mean, we're New Jersey. We have an inferiority complex as it is.
That is
right?
True.
We're south of New York City. Yep. We're north of Philadelphia. And then he goes out and loses a snowball fight to a guy who lives in weather is 80 degrees all year long.
I have to say, though, I was caught in a snowstorm in Arizona one time. I was driving from Texas.
Yeah, well, in Flagstaff, where there
Flagstaff,
is snow, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was driving from Texas, where it was 80 degrees, to Las Vegas, and we stopped in Flagstaff, and we had shorts on, and all of a sudden it started to snow, and it was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
So it does snow in Arizona in some places from time to time.
Still, if you're Senator Flake, you're not traveling to Flagstaff on a regular basis to practice throwing snowballs.
For the most part, no, I wouldn't think.
This is dreadful. this is dreadful for New Jersey.
He did have
and
some
then
good moves,
sends
though.
A vegan pizza. Yeah. Come on.
Booker did have some good moves, though. I saw he looked like he was more prepared for this.
Stop, Mike. Stop.
He had some good duck and dive kind of moves, but unfortunately got the better.
The boxer who shows up with the really glitzy shorts. Wow, this guy must be good. He dresses great. Then he gets knocked out.
All right,
Flake. I guess gets partial credit. His last name is Flake.
Yeah, there you
Snow,
go.
Right.
Yeah, maybe a call to Senator Booker's office today is
in
order.
Bad. Can lose to an Arizona guy.
And Gordon, you know, we don't know if she passed or not, but based on the evidence, we can probably guess the answer was a hard no. Police in Minnesota said a teen was taking her driver's test Wednesday when she smashed the car into a brick wall and sent her 60-year-old examiner to the hospital. The accident in Buffalo, located about 40 miles northwest of Minneapolis, reportedly occurred because the 17-year-old driver made the catastrophic mistake of shifting into drive instead of reverse. Authorities said there was significant damage to the building. The driver thankfully was not hurt, and the road test examiner is expected to recover from her non-life-threatening injuries.
Wow. Oof. That's coming up for me later this year when my son turns 17.
Oh,
I'll have to take that road test.
There is no more nerve-wracking day for a teenager than the day that you
might be right.
Take your driver's license test.
And on top of that, there'll be the pressure to not show up in one of your stories.
Yes. That is
true. If he actually goes into drive instead of reverse or vice versa.
Yes, we're not gonna pull any punches here.
Wow. You mean even if he's my son and he does that, you'll include him in the story?
Of course.
Wow. You're tough, man.
No fake news here, my friend.
13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Look into any great business. Whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Bad news for barbecue lovers. LiveScience.com says regularly eating meats that are sizzled on the grill may increase the risk of high blood pressure. That's from a new 16-year study that also found that other high-temperature cooking methods like broiling and roasting were also linked with high blood pressure. People who reported eating grilled, broiled, or roasted beef, chicken, or fish more than 15 times a month were 17% more likely to develop high blood pressure during the study period compared with people who ate these foods fewer than 4 times a month. Those who said they tended to eat their meat well done were 15% more likely to develop high blood pressure than those who said they tended to eat their meat rare. Why would this happen? Researchers say chemicals that are produced when meats are cooked at high temperatures
lead to things like inflammation and insulin resistance. Those chemicals, by the way, have also been linked with cancer. Does seem to get back to the everything in moderation approach, right? Because these are people eating these meats every other day, it seems. 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court in China has announced a $3 billion list of U.S. goods for possible retaliation in a tariff dispute with President Trump and braced for a bigger battle over technology policy as financial markets sink on fears of disruption to global commerce. The Commerce Ministry says higher duties on pork, apples, steel pipe, and other goods would offset Chinese losses due to Trump's tariff hike on steel and aluminum imports. Trump says China hasn't been playing fair.
We're losing $375 billion with China. It could be $504 billion, depending on the way you count. A lot of different ways of counting, but no matter how you count, it's bad.
The ministry also criticized Trump's decision to approve a possible tariff hike on Chinese goods worth up to $60 billion over Beijing's technology policy. The Dow Industrial skidded 724 points yesterday on worries about a trade war. John Dowd, the lead lawyer representing President Trump in the special counsel's Russia investigation, has left the legal team. The Wall Street Journal says Dowd's resignation stunned some of the president's advisors who weren't expecting him to depart. At a phase of the investigation that involves sensitive dealings with Robert Mueller, Dowd had been a central player in negotiating terms of a possible interview between Trump and Mueller. A teenage girl who was shot by a classmate inside their Maryland high school on Tuesday has been removed from life support. Her mother, Melissa Willie, spoke yesterday at a news conference.
She's brain dead and has nothing, no life left in her.
The teen was shot by 17-year-old Austin Rollins. A school resource officer got there within a minute and fired a shot at him, but it isn't yet clear whether he was killed by the officer's bullet or took his own life. Here's a study that probably didn't need to be done. Welch's, the maker of grape juice and other grapey things, has determined that the duties of motherhood are equivalent to about 2.5 full-time jobs. Researchers found that the average mom starts working at 6:23 a.m., ends her day at 8:31 p.m., and has 1.7 hours of free time during that shift.
It's a study by Welch's?
Yes. Why? I don't know.
But. Well, you need to eat more jelly to manage your day when you're a busy mom. I think that's what happened there.
That makes sense.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. United Airlines paid a passenger $10,000 to give up her seat this week. Allison Price's airport ordeal started out with a tweet from the gate at Dulles International Airport. Wednesday morning, she wrote, quote, United is offering $1,000 in travel credit for an oversold flight. If nobody bites, they'll kick off the lowest fare passenger by pulling them out of the boarding line for a flight that they oversold. Unreal, she wrote. SFgate.com says there were subsequent tweets that led to a juicy $10,000 flight voucher from United. She wrote, I am the lowest fare passenger. They're kicking me off this flight. They can't board me because there's a broken seat. Then she tweeted, United is the worst. She followed up with, quote, on the upside, I wasn't physically dragged off the plane and my dog wasn't killed on board, so I've got that going for me. Ouch. Then she posted evidence of the $10,000 credit. She also tweeted, by the way, that she got two $10 meal vouchers, adding she planned to go insane at Pizza Hut. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.